Hey, what's up, everybody? Seems like I'm never on Periscope, and then all of a sudden you can't get rid of me. There I am every day on Periscope, sometimes twice a day. Good morning, good afternoon, and in case I don't see you later, good evening. All right. This is your Boom Week report for Tuesday. There seems to be a lot of stuff going on right now, and wanted to get you all caught up. When is the next Dave and Dilly show? I don't know. Do not know. That is a good question. I had a lot of fun doing the show with Brendan. It was good. Joe DeGeneva is dropping some truth this morning. Yep. For those of you who did not catch Laura Ingraham last night, I posted a couple of short clips from a guy that Laura Ingraham had on last night. He's a former Justice Department attorney, and he had some very encouraging comments about what it meant that Attorney General William Barr appointed John Durham, prosecutor, to look into the beginnings of the Trump-Russia investigation. He says Democrats should be pretty scared because this is a big deal. And it essentially means that Barr thinks there are crimes committed by people inside government that need to be prosecuted. Otherwise, he wouldn't appoint a prosecutor. So it's interesting observations. And of course, we've known this for a long time. He thinks that this will likely go all the way to the top of the FBI and Department of Justice because a FISA application has to be signed off by either the head of the FBI or the deputy director and the attorney general or the deputy attorney general. Those are the two, one of those two people has to sign off on a FISA application. So yeah, it goes to the top. And we've known that for some time. Yes, there is some panic going on. Look at the Elizabeth Warren and other people, and they're just losing it, freaking out. Lots of panic going on. Wanted to bring you up to date with a thread by Jeff Carlson. He is at The Markets Work on Twitter. He's one of the guys, along with Brian Cates and Tracy Beans and Undercover Huber and Dawson Field and all the other good people on Twitter who do these threads where they're investigating, digging into and trying to figure out what's going on and reporting on the news. I follow Jeff Carlson pretty, I don't want to say religiously, but I follow him very closely. He does a lot of good work, is a very humble guy, is a good researcher, makes really good connections, doesn't make a lot of drama. He isn't overly dramatic. He doesn't hype things. He just brings together facts and information and lets people decide whatever it means to them. Right? And I like that about him. He just presents really good information and lets you figure it out. Oh, by the way, you might want to check if you're on Twitter, if you have a Twitter account, check who you're following on Twitter. I just lost 3,000 followers this morning on Twitter, like that, boom. Yesterday I had 181,000 followers, and today I had 178,000 followers. I didn't even notice it until Lisa May Crowley tweeted out she lost 2,000 followers this morning. So I don't know if Twitter is purging accounts or what the deal is. I'm not sure. But you might want to check just to make sure that you're following the accounts that you want to follow and you haven't been unfollowed by Twitter. Just something to, you know, check into. So Jeff Carlson starts out this morning with a thread. And hey, good morning, everybody who's jumping in here. He starts out, there's a whole lot going on with the appointment of Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham to look into the beginnings of the Russia investigation. Also, there are reports that Barr is working with Gina Haspel, CIA director, Dan Coats, Director of National Intelligence, and Chris Wray. There's also some news about John Huber, and it's only Tuesday. So we're gonna get you caught up on all that stuff. How about that? That sound cool? All right, so I'm going to mention a lot of names of people. Some of them you'll be familiar with, some of them you won't be familiar with. I'm just going to get you kind of familiar with some of the players that we need to be watching in the next couple of months. Dana Bente is a name. Dana Bente has been with the Department of Justice for a long time. He was actually acting Attorney General for a period of time under President Trump. Before, when Trump fired, and this is just kind of weird, right? So Loretta Lynch steps down as Attorney General during the transition when Trump had been elected and then inauguration came in January of 2017. In that transition period, Loretta Lynch leaves. Sally Yates steps in as temporary Attorney General. And then Trump fires her. I think Sally Yates only served as Attorney General for like 7 days or 10 days or something like that. She would not enforce one of the president's laws regarding immigration, so Trump fired Sally Yates. Dana Bente was a U.S. Attorney for Eastern District of Virginia, and the Eastern District of Virginia U.S. Attorney is one of the most powerful U.S. attorneys in the country. They become the acting Attorney General if there's no Deputy Attorney General. Rosenstein had not been appointed, and Sessions had not yet been confirmed. So Dana Bente, who is U.S. Attorney for Eastern District of Virginia, he actually was acting Attorney General for a while. He was also acting Deputy Attorney General for a while. He was acting head of the Department of Justice for National Security Division for a while. He is currently serving as FBI's General Counsel. Now, a lot of people are wondering, is Dana Bente a person that we can trust or not? When the president was inaugurated and then began appointing U.S. attorneys, he fired a lot of U.S. attorneys. Not unusual, but who a president decides to retain as a U.S. attorney is a very important thing, okay? And Trump got rid of a lot of U.S. attorneys. There are three or four that he maintained, that he rehired, that are worth considering. He kept Dana Bente on as U.S. attorney, okay? And that's significant. That means Trump trusts him. So I kind of tend to think that Dana Bente is probably a white hat. He wouldn't have been rehired by Trump if Trump didn't trust him. He also retained Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General, right? He also retained John Huber. Huber was one of the few U.S. attorneys that Trump held on to. Now, those are key players, as we've all known over the last year, in a lot of different things, other than a lot of people don't know much about Dana Bente. All right. Let's see. We know that Huber was tasked by Jeff Sessions in November of 2017 to investigate allegations of corruption in the FBI and DOJ, abuse of power, FISA issues. Also, mainly the big things that Huber was tasked with is investigating the Clinton Foundation, the FBI Department of Justice's handling of the Clinton Foundation investigation, its handling of the Uranium One investigation, and then issues related to possible abuse of power in the FBI and DOJ. So those are the things that Huber was tasked with, according to a letter sent to members of Congress, and then later confirmed by some follow-up letters. Matt Whitaker confirmed that Huber had been, in fact, been tasked with looking into the Clinton Foundation and Uranium One. All right, so we know that Huber's been investigating that stuff for a long time. I have very good reason to believe that Huber's investigation is probably over. All right. Now, I have several data points that I would use to suggest that Huber's investigation is over. Number one, nothing was said and nothing has leaked out of Huber's office. Huber has been off the radar for a long time, for a year and a half. Nothing coming out of there. Then all of a sudden, about a month ago, news cameras start showing up, and the Salt Lake City U.S. Attorney's Office is doing interviews, and they're having people come in, and they're talking about the type of things that they're office investigates, right? They were completely out of the public eye for the longest time, and now they're bringing them back into the public eye. Huber, came to D.C. and he met with Bill Barr after he was confirmed, made some public statements, right? I do not believe there would be any media attention, any mention of Huber, any of that stuff, unless his investigation was probably wrapped up. So my assumption, this is just an assumption, just kind of reading the tea leaves, is that Huber's work is probably, for the most part, wrapped up. They're putting some finishing touches on things. If Huber is still investigating, I'm sure he is, he's investing in a lot of different things. His office, Salt Lake City, U.S. Attorney's Office, probably looking into and helping Horowitz with what he's investigating, and maybe helping Mr. Durham with what he's investigating. Right? Different U.S. Attorney's Office kind of working together on a large scale. So when you see people on Twitter and on the media saying, "Oh, what is Huber investigating? If Durham is investigating the origins of the FISA or the Trump-Russia investigation, what is Huber investigating?" Huber has been investigating stuff for a long time. And I'm guessing that most of his work on those issues is probably done. So we don't need to be wringing our hands and crying and wondering about what Huber's investigating. Huber's investigation, most of it is probably done, probably wrapped up. And I would imagine grand juries have been impaneled already for a long time, already heard evidence, sealed indictments, ready to go. And right now, the appointment of, let's talk about John Durham, U.S. Attorney for Connecticut. It was announced yesterday that, and this was leaked, by the way, there wasn't an official announcement. There's no official announcement on the DOJ website. Bill Barr did not go on the national media and talk about him appointing U.S. Attorney John Durham to investigate the beginnings of the Trump-Russia investigation by the FBI. There was no announcement. This was leaked. All right? So we have leaked information that suggests that John Durham is investigating or has been appointed to investigate this stuff. Well, if you just start plowing through this stuff, you'll find out that Durham's been on this for a long time. In the transcript of James Baker, his congressional testimony, when he was deposed and he was asked a lot of questions about what's going on with his involvement in the investigation of the president, his attorney was asked questions, and Baker was being asked questions. Baker's attorney steps in and says, "Hang on a second, we can't answer that question. This is already under investigation." And Jim Jordan asked, "What do you mean? Who's investigating? Are you talking about Horowitz investigation?" He goes, "No, a U.S. attorney, John Durham, is investigating this." And Jim Jordan clarifies, he's like, "Wait a minute, what investigation? What are you talking about?" So Jim Baker's attorney, Jim Baker, former U.S., former chief counsel for the FBI under Jim Comey, Baker's attorney says that Baker is currently being investigated for leaking illegal leaks to the press by U.S. attorney John Durham out of Connecticut, right? So there's a Fox News article about that. This is back in October or September of last year. And that transcript came out in March, Baker's transcript, right? So Durham has been investigating leaking by high-level FBI people like Comey and Baker and Andrew McCabe and all these other creeps that we've been hearing about for a long time. Durham has been investigating those people. We know that Sessions and Rosenstein had this a special task force that was investigating leaks inside the FBI and DOJ, mostly to the media. All right, this has been going on for a long time. Well, who do you put in charge of corruption, of investigating corruption of FBI and DOJ officials? Durham has a long history of investigating FBI, DOJ, and CIA corruption. That's what he does. That's one of his big things that he does, right? So Durham has been on this for a long time. This is not a new thing. Now, for that, and this is just a small point, you're going to have people who are going to say, oh, now the real investigation is starting, now that Barr is here, and, you know, because Sessions wasn't doing anything. Now that Barr is here, everything's all starting over, we're getting new investigations. No, we're not. these investigations started a long time ago under Sessions, and people don't like that. That's fine, but it is interesting to note that Q suggested, what if there was a second U.S. attorney who had the same mandate as John Huber, but no one knew about this attorney? What if a second U.S. attorney had been appointed and no one knew about that, right? So this is an interesting possibility. Q was suggesting, had suggested from the day that this all began. Now, I keep going back to this same issue. If you go back to November 14th on Q's board, when he was posting on 4chan, Q had only been posting for a couple of weeks. And Q asked on November 14th, why would sealed indictments be done outside of D.C.? What is the nickname for D.C.? What advantage would this provide, having sealed indictments outside of Washington, D.C.? Q was suggesting that U.S. attorneys were already working to pile up sealed indictments outside of D.C. on corruption going on in D.C., in the swamp. Okay, that was November 14th, 2017. That was the day after a letter was sent to Mark Meadows, Trey Gowdy, I think John Ratcliffe, and there were several members of Congress who expressed concerns about corruption and abuse of power by politicians. And they wanted this investigated, and they asked Sessions to appoint a second special counsel. The letter came back from the DOJ saying that that the DOJ had appointed senior Justice Department officials to investigate these all the issues that they had brought up. Right, this was on November 13th of 2017. That's when Stephen Boyd wrote the letter back to members of Congress saying, we have already appointed senior Justice Department officials to investigate this stuff. That was on November 13th. November 14th, the next day, Q's on the board going, hey, you know, what if there's a U.S. attorney outside of Washington, D.C. who's racking up sealed indictments outside the swamp? What advantage would this provide? So the very next day, Q was already telling us, look, there's investigations going on, U.S. attorneys outside of D.C., right? So, and it's interesting that Q and, Stephen Boyd, in his letter to the members of Congress, said senior Justice Department officials, plural, right, are already investigating all this stuff. And then we find out later that in March, 5 months later, we find out, because members of Congress are whining and screaming and complaining and crying, Sessions goes ahead and says, okay, look, you're not getting a second special counsel. It isn't going to happen. We're not going to have another investigation focused out in D.C., right? The whole issue with a second special counsel is they operate out of Washington, D.C. They impanel grand juries in Washington, D.C., in the eastern Virginia area, which is full of Hillary voters. Why would you want to impanel grand juries in the swamp who are all Hillary voters? You wouldn't. You'd want to impanel juries in red states where there's a possibility of getting someone who at least knows a little bit about corruption and maybe is not going to vote for Hillary. Anyway, so this all began in November, and Sessions finally, to placate the members of Congress, said, okay, look, John Huber is the guy we've appointed. He is working on all of this. This is in March 2018. and there's your name, and you're not going to get a second special counsel. It ain't going to happen. It's already being investigated. Just chill up. Well, like I said, Q mentioned the possibility that there was another U.S. attorney who had also been appointed with the same mandate as Huber, but he was anonymous. We didn't know his name. A lot of people have been trying to guess, thinking that maybe it's an attorney out of Little Rock who was investigating the Clinton Foundation. You know, there's a very good likelihood that the FBI field office in Little Rock is very involved in this. But there's also a good possibility that Durham has been involved in this for a long time as well. I would suspect that's probably the case. There's a lot going on behind the scenes we don't know about. And for all the people who are screaming and crying, you know, when are the arrests going to happen? When's someone going to go to jail? Well, you know what? You just have to wait. This is a movie, like we've always said. It is a movie. It has been scripted. It has been planned out by the military. It's been planned out by people in the DOJ. It is a controlled demolition. They're setting the charges. They're setting the debt cords. They're setting the timers. And you just have to wait for all the setup to happen before it's going to be taken down. Prosecuting criminal syndicates is a very difficult, long, arduous, time-consuming process. You don't just go in and start arresting members of a criminal syndicate one at a time. You arrest them all on the same day. You compile all the evidence. You impanel grand juries. You present the evidence to them. You get indictments. You seal the indictments. And then on one day, you go in and you take them all down. When that's going to happen, I have no idea. But it's going to take time, and you just have to relax. All right. So, continuing with Jeff Carlson's thread on Twitter. When Dana Bente took over as chief counsel for the FBI, Zachary Terwilliger took over as U.S. Attorney for Eastern District of Virginia. Now, prior to his appointment at the Eastern District of Virginia, Terwilliger served as an associate deputy attorney general and was chief of staff to Rod Rosenstein. All right. So Terwilliger is an interesting fellow. He's had a lot of different appointments and held a lot of positions in the DOJ as well. He previously worked as U.S. attorney at the Eastern District of Virginia during Dana Bente's time as the U.S. attorney there. He worked on criminal legislation under Chuck Grassley and for the Senate Judiciary Committee. Interesting history with Terwilliger. His father, George Terwilliger III, served as William Barr's deputy attorney general from 1991 to 1993. Terwilliger III, it was said of him that Barr and I worked side by side, some would say joined at the hip, when we served as Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General, respectively, together. So Terwilliger's dad was very close with William Barr. Let's see. Another name, Jesse Liu, L-I-U. Trump nominated him for the third highest post in the DOJ, Jesse, she was nominated, but her nomination fell through because she had a prior role with the National Association of Women's Lawyers, which supported abortion rights, big controversy. Her nomination fell through. Trump nominated John Demers to head National Security Division at DOJ. If you look at a lot of these DOJ announcements of arrests and convictions of people involved in leaking intelligence to China, big espionage cases, big criminal cases that are coming out, Demers is normally the person who breaks the news on that, if it has to do with national security. He has worked at National Security Division previously, was Assistant General Counsel at Boeing, clerked for Justice Scalia, actually. Terwilliger and Demers have already worked jointly on several large high-profile cases. Durham, U.S. Attorney for Connecticut, was appointed by Barr to investigate the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. So we're finding out. It was leaked, right? Like, no official announcement. It was leaked. People are thinking it's a new thing. Some people are saying, oh, this has happened weeks ago. I suspect it happened a lot longer ago than just a few weeks ago. All right. On John Huber, this is going on in Jeff Carlson's thread. It has been reported that U.S. Attorney John Huber in Utah is no longer involved in Russia-related issues. Huber's review of other issues related to Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation is nearing completion, the source said. All right, this is Jeff Carlson. He has got a quote here saying that Huber's work on the Clinton Foundation is likely nearing completion. That is also what I have been discerning and reading through my sources and what I'm finding. All right. If it's true, that's probably why Durham was appointed, or at least Durham's work was announced. If we go on the assumption that Durham has been working on this for a long time, then what was announced wasn't really an announcement. It was a leak of a situation that has already been in play. And now Barr wants people to know that Durham is on the case as a prosecutor. As a prosecutor who has prosecuted FBI, DOJ, and CIA corruption in the past. All right? Not so much an appointment, but an announcement, hey, this guy's been on the case, and nobody really knows how long he's been on the case. It is a warning to certain people. Hey, by the way, this guy, prosecutor, he's in play. All right. Durham has been leading the DOJ's task force on fighting MS-13 corruption. He was appointed to that position by Sessions. He was working with Rosenstein. Durham and Rosenstein were the two lead people on the MS-13 task force. All right. So this morning, CNN and Fox News are reporting Attorney General Barr, working closely with CIA Director Gina Haspel, Director of National Intelligence Director Dan Coats, and FBI Director Chris Wray on surveillance issues related to the Trump campaign, suggesting a broader interagency effort is underway. All right, that's from CNN and Fox News this morning. Now, we know, if you've been keeping up with things, you know that it's looking more and more like the origin of all of this came from the CIA. Brennan was the one who got the dossier to Harry Reid and pressured Harry Reid to go and give it to Comey to get the FBI to do an investigation on it. All right, that very firmly puts Brennan in the driver's seat of this whole thing, which is why Gina Haspel is getting involved. Not now, again. If you think Gina Haspel is just going to get involved in this thing, she's been involved in this thing for a whole... I guarantee you that that Barr and Sessions and Gina Haspel and Chris Wray have been talking about this and working together to unravel this knot for a long time. But now we're getting news that this is going on, right? All right, so that's from Fox and CNN this morning. There have been a lot of people that are taking shots at Chris Wray, taking shots at William Barr, taking shots at Gina Haspel, all right? And you might want to ask yourself why. Why are people like attacking these people? And it's not the same people. If there is a concerted effort to smear them, to destroy their credibility, it could be because they're doing very important work. And look, let's review what Q has said about the CIA. Q has suggested numerous times that the CIA is too corrupt to be cleaned and that they're being dismantled. The agency is being dismantled. Operations that are currently being run by the CIA are going to be transferred to the NSA. And NSA is under the Pentagon. It's part of the military. That would not surprise me at all. The CIA has its hands in everything. In my estimation, it is way too corrupt to be reformed or cleaned. It needs to be dismantled. And hopefully we'll get to see that happen. I think Gina Haspel is overseeing the dismantling. I think Trump picked Gina Haspel because he trusts her. I suspect that Trump allowed Mike Pompeo to be CIA director for 1 year because he trusts Pompeo more than just about anyone else. Pompeo goes into the CIA, does an assessment of what is needed, what they need to accomplish, and then they find someone that can take over to implement the plan of dismantling the CIA. And I think that's Gina Haspel. And there's going to be a whole lot of reform and changes in the intelligence community coming up. Guarantee it. With this level of corruption and abuse of power, these agencies have to be reformed. Some of them probably need to be disbanded. So I think those are very realistic possibilities. Let's see. And yeah, so I'm looking at a couple of other accounts here on Twitter that are reporting the same thing, that Barr is reported to be working collaboratively with Gina Haspel, CIA director, Dan Coats, director of national intelligence, and Chris Wray, to the origin of the Russia investigation. They want to go back and figure out how this whole thing started. They probably know a lot more than they're willing to talk about publicly. I'm just looking to see if there's anything new here. All right, Kevin Cork, who is White House correspondent with Fox News. Fox News learned that John Durham, his review is much wider than just the FISA process, but that Durham is also working directly with Horowitz, Inspector General Horowitz, on looking at the FISA process. Durham has led numerous public corruption probes, including organized crime, government misconduct, and financial fraud matters. Durham has investigated law enforcement corruption and matters relating to the destruction of videotapes by the CIA and its treatment of detainees. So, let's see. So that is where we're at. I think things are rolling along pretty well. Now, timing-wise, right? So Q has indicated that the next thing to drop is likely to be this report on James Comey. We didn't know anything about this until Joe DeGeneva dropped it on a show a couple weeks ago. He said there's this bombshell report coming out about James Comey in a couple of weeks. So I think that's going to be the next thing to drop. And Hannity has been talking about leaking a report from Huber. I don't really have much of a frame of reference for that because I was not under the impression that Huber was investigating leaking, but Hannity keeps on saying we have the Huber report on leaking. I don't know if that is in relation to Comey and Baker and McCabe and people in the FBI who were leaking intelligence to the reporters. I'm not sure. I don't know. But next up, we should get a report on Comey. Then I anticipate we're going to get D-class. We know that the president is kind of holding declassification of all this information over the heads of Congress to keep them in check so they don't do anything stupid. But Q has indicated D-class comes before the Inspector General report. I don't anticipate we're going to see the Inspector General report until June, maybe late June, if it has to go through redactions and issues like that. I mean, the last Inspector General report that we saw was delayed a couple of months from the expected release date. So I'm keeping my powder dry. I want to think the Inspector General report is going to actually land in our laps. I don't expect it in the next couple of weeks. I think it'll be probably a month. And I should say this, manage your expectations regarding the Inspector General report. There are a lot of people who developed a very jaded, very pessimistic view of this whole issue because they had high expectations of the last Inspector General report, and they were disappointed by what they found. And I think that's because they had unrealistic expectations. You have to remember, an Inspector General report is not being done by a U.S. attorney who has prosecutorial power. An Inspector General report is an internal affairs report on how things have been done internally. It's an internal investigation that looks at whether or not employees follow department policies, guidelines, and broken any laws. Now, the Inspector General, Mike Horowitz, and his investigators are looking into a lot of things. They could make criminal referrals, and they probably will. But don't expect that you're going to see hundreds of people rounded up and arrested the day after the Inspector General report hits. That is not going to happen. That is an unrealistic expectation. The Inspector General report is going to provide information about things that were done inside the FBI, probably the DOJ, that were done incorrectly, department policy, and potential violation of law. And then criminal referrals will be made to the DOJ and U.S. Attorney's offices based on the Inspector General's report. So we're going to have a lot of information coming out, I think, over the next few months. We need to get some perspective. And try to manage your expectations. You won't get disappointed if you don't have unrealistic expectations. We are watching a movie. It's scripted, and we just have to wait for the things to fall into place. And I have not read the script. Q is giving us little bits of the script as we go. I think the president is giving us other parts of the script. Sean Hannity, Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Joe DiGenova, a few other people are dropping crumbs along the way to help us figure out where the script is going. I think we just need to be patient and follow all these people. Now, Denise and I have been listening to Sean Hannity every night for the last couple of weeks because it's obvious Hannity's crew are dropping important clues along the way. We've also started to watch Laura Ingraham because Laura Ingraham is starting to get people showing up on her show that have important clues. You have to put up with all the fluff and the bravado and the grandstanding and the long monologues that are repetitive. But if you stick it out and hang in there, you'll get important clues dropped along the way. We're starting to watch more of Maria Bartiromo because she tends to have on some important people once in a while who can help give some information. As we get those little bits of information that come along, I'll continue posting them on Twitter whenever I find relevant information. There are other people on Twitter who are doing a really good job of that. Lisa Mae Crowley has been doing that pretty good. Methods, In the Matrix, some of our Q decoders. They're really doing some good digs and keeping their ear to the ground and finding whatever they see involving the exposure of corruption. They put it out there on Twitter. I try to retweet those people and whatever they've got good information. All right. So someone has a question here. Is Hannity and Sarah Carter and Solomon reading Q posts and piecing it together? I have no idea. I don't know if any of those people, some people have suggested that Dan Bongino is reading Q drops and reporting his stuff kind of from some of that. I have no idea if anyone in the mainstream media is following Q. I suspect that they are and not talking about it. How am I so patient? I am patient because I realize that the operation that we're watching is an operation to save the country and the world from hundreds of years of corruption. And if it takes a couple of years to impanel grand juries and get some indictments, if it takes a couple of years for the people to do this the right way, I don't care. I don't care if it takes 10 years. That we're talking about saving the world from the influences of corrupt, evil people, the entire world. Like, what, you can't wait 2 or 3 more weeks or 2 months for that to happen? Really? You're that impatient that you can't wait a little bit longer for the world to be saved from corruption? I don't understand that. I don't understand how people cannot have patience for that sort of thing. We're not talking about arresting a few corrupt people in Washington. We're talking about taking down a global cabal of thousands of people, high, powerful, wealthy people, banksters, and corrupt people by the thousands. And if you can't wait a little while for that to happen, then I don't know what to say. I have no problem at all waiting for that to happen. I know it has to be done a specific way, right? And, you know, I've dealt with a lot of impatient people over my lifetime. I have done a lot of CPR on a lot of dead people. And when you're doing a resuscitation on someone who has died, you have to follow steps. You have to follow protocol. You have to do some compressions. You have to do start an IV. You have to put on the heart monitors. You have to start giving some medications and defibrillate if necessary and do all these steps. And I have had people running around me screaming and yelling and throwing things. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Why don't you do something? And we're like, look, we're just relax. We're doing everything we need to do. But you're not working fast enough. I have, for 35 years, I've had people screaming at me in my face, yelling that I'm not doing anything and I'm not doing it fast enough when their loved one is bleeding to death or dying of respiratory failure or whatever. So I'm kind of used to stressful situations where irrational, emotional people are screaming and hollering that nothing is being done. I'm chill because I've lived with that my whole life. And those people, I'm like, look, I feel sorry for you, but I'm doing what I have to do. And, you know, we're going to be in your house for 15 minutes and we're going to try to save this person's life and do everything we can. But you're just going to have to chill and wait for this to happen. It's not going to be done in 2 minutes. A successful resuscitation on a dying or dead person doesn't take 2 or 3 minutes. It's a long process. It involves a lot of people and a lot of moving parts. And you can't hurry it up or you'll screw it up. And that's how this whole prosecution thing is. If they are not meticulous, cross every T, dot every I, the deep state corrupt people in the FBI, Department of Justice, CIA, and other agencies are all going to skate. Look, I've said this 100 times. They could have gone in and arrested all these people 2 years ago. They could have done it. They could have, if you just want to see arrests, they could have arrested everybody 2 years ago. You wouldn't see any of those people convicted. Because a lot of people who are watching this broadcast, they only want to see arrests. They don't care about convictions. I just want to see your people arrested. Well, okay, if all you want to see is people perp walked and then watch them walk free 6 months later because of a legal technicality, well, then okay, that's fine. That's not what I want. I don't want to see people perp walk and then walk free 6 months or a year later because a judge mishandled the case, because a judge, there was a mistrial because a prosecutor was engaging in misconduct or because the FBI lost the evidence. That is exactly what will happen. If they don't wait for the courts to be cleaned out, the DOJ to be cleaned out, the FBI to be cleaned out of corrupt people, all of these people are going to escape. You can arrest them all and they're all going to escape. They have been working hard on, and you know, look, I hate to pick on Hannity, but holy crap, dude. Hannity the other night, I'm listening and he's going off on Chris Ray. Oh, what about Peter Strzok? Well, what about Jim Comey? Well, what about Andrew McCabe? Nothing's happening to them. What about Lisa Page? What about Jim Baker? Nothing's happening to them. I'm like, Hannity, are you aware that all these people have been fired? And many of them are under criminal prosecution right now. McCabe and Baker, we know for certain, have had Baker's being investigated for leaking, illegal leaking, and McCabe has had a grand jury panel, and probably several hearing cases on all of those people. I guarantee you, every single one of those people is under criminal prosecution investigation right now. Hannity is on there, well, nothing's happening to them, blah, blah, blah. Like, they've all been fired. Dave Loffman, gone. Bill Priestap, gone. all these corrupt people at the top of the FBI, every single one of them fired. Nothing's happening. They're not doing anything. Who do you think is firing all these people? Chris Wray. I'm like, look, I'm sorry. If you have to have Chris Wray stand up in front of public and tell everybody, my department is corrupt, everyone in it is corrupt, they're all bad people, they should all be fired. I'm sorry, that is not going to happen. That is just unrealistic. Look at what is happening in the department, right? And you just look at all the people that have been fired and prosecuted in the FBI, like, who is the head of the FBI? Who is doing all this? Anybody? Yeah. So try to keep your blood pressure under control when you're watching these people who continue to take pot shots at people like Rosenstein and Chris Wray and saying that nothing's happening and nothing, no one's being held accountable. They're all being held accountable. It kills me that Hannity on one hand is saying, we're going to demand that they're held accountable. And on the other hand, people are being held accountable and he's not even paying attention to it. He's totally blowing it off. So I don't know. I am here to lower your blood pressure and to give you a reason to chill. Be cool. Take the information in and process it and evaluate it and realize some of these people are either spinning a wrong narrative, they're not looking at all the information, or they're overlooking things that they should be considering more heavily. All right. That is all I've got for today. This is a quick update on Spygate and corruption. Really fast. All right. Love y'all. I'm going to get out of here. Take care. Catch you on the next broadcast.